December of 2004. It caused enormous damage and immense suffering. Well, the following year, Sri Lankan legislators threatened to pass a law making Christian evangelism illegal. What's the connection? Tsunami, this law. Well, the majority of Sri Lankans are Buddhist, and many were angry and angered over reports of efforts among Christian missionaries there to bring relief after the tsunami, their efforts of evangelizing the Sri Lankan Buddhists. Well, at the time, Kingsley Pereira was a leader in the Baptist Conference of Sri Lanka. He made a trip to the United States and visited various churches after the efforts were underway and after this legislation was before his government. And he spoke of the post-tsunami work of American and Sri Lankan Christians and how they reached out to support their friends who were Buddhist. And he discussed the impending law. Someone asked him what the Sri Lankan Christians would do if this law was passed banning Christian evangelism. He replied, "Our people are prepared to suffer for the gospel. We may lose a few members, but look back through church history and you will see that the church always grows during persecution. We do not want this law, but it will not inhibit the preaching of the gospel." Now, this story from Sri Lanka illustrates two kinds of suffering that we experience. The first one, the first suffering we experience is simply because we're human. This includes problems and pains that come from diseases and disasters and crime and grief and job loss and aging. Such suffering is common to all people, everywhere, all the time, and no one is exempt. Sooner or later, all of us suffer in some way. We are tempted when we get hit with some of it to say, "Why me?" And the answer is, because you are a human being. It is part and parcel of being a human being. It may feel like injustice, but it's not. It's just part of being human on planet Earth. Now, though, in the midst of such suffering, if you have another person or a group who will come alongside with you and walk with you as you go through the suffering, sort of sharing the load with you, it can make all the difference. Now, this is what faith communities can do and often do. When one of us is suffering, we offer babysitting, we pray, we visit, we take food, we babysit, we provide transportation, we just sort of love on each other, as my friend from Alabama likes to put it. It's a way of saying, "I'm here for you," and meaning, "I don't intend to be judgmental. I don't know how your situation occurred. I'm just here to be your Christian friend." I know of a woman who lost her 45-year-old husband to a heart attack. And 2 months later, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. You can imagine the devastation she felt. She lived on the East Coast, and all of her family lived in the West. Her pastor was kind and concerned, but she says her best help came from other laywomen in the congregation who visited her often during her recovery, who prayed with her and encouraged her and drove her back and forth through her chemotherapy. When someone is willing to go through suffering with us, it is a gift from God through another person. That's what Paul asked of Timothy in this scripture that we heard Vicki read. He was asking Timothy to come alongside, to go through the suffering with him. However, the suffering that Paul was dealing with then was of a different sort. It wasn't suffering that came upon him because he was a human being. It was suffering that came upon him because he was a Christian. That's the second form of suffering. We will all suffer any number of things because we're human. But because we're Christian, we may also be asked to suffer on account of our faith. Paul was suffering for his faith. He asked Timothy, quote, "Join me in suffering for the gospel." In the Gospels, Jesus says his followers will be required to take up their crosses and follow him. Now, sometimes we interpret that as having to deal with a difficult child or a difficult spouse or a painful disability, something we seek to suffer with a kind of a dignity. But that's not what Jesus means. Jesus did not suffer his cross because he was human. He went to the cross because he evangelized. That is, he called people to join him in building God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. He spoke and lived the truth of God, and he was crucified for it. So his call to take up our crosses is not about illness, divorce, or bereavement, things like that. It's about the suffering that also often comes to people who put God's values over and above the values of the world. It is about striving to live according to God's will, in God's way, and accepting the consequences. This takes courage. Before asking Timothy to join his suffering for the gospel, Paul assures him, quote, "God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." Paul encourages Timothy to be neither ashamed of Jesus nor of him. Then he invites Timothy to share his suffering. Clarence Jordan had a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Jordan's parents lived in Talbotton, Georgia, and as he grew up, he saw many signs that disturbed him of racial inequality and injustice. He earned a degree in agriculture from the University of Georgia and a PhD in New Testament studies from Southern Baptist Seminary. And then in 1942, he organized Koinonia Farms nearby Americus, Georgia, in an effort to put together a racially integrated community and model how God desires people to live together, how God would have us live. Well, one day, a truck driver who had been delivering butane to Koinonia told Jordan he was discontinuing delivery. He had been receiving threats from elements around Americus who opposed integration. The driver said if he continued to deliver to Koinonia, he'd lose business. Jordan confronted him. He said, "Boy, looks like you're in a tough spot. You're going to lose some money or lose your soul." The driver told Jordan that folks who did business with Koinonia were in physical as well as financial danger, but he promised Jordan he'd find somebody else who would deliver the butane. Jordan replied, "You mean you'd ask a friend to take a chance you're not willing to take yourself?" Jordan asked the driver to live according to gospel demands as he, Jordan, and all the residents of Koinonia were living, even if it meant risking suffering. Paul asks the same of Timothy. And here's the thing. He asks the same of us. "Join me in suffering for the gospel," is a request he makes of every Christian. He can ask that because Jesus has already said, "Anyone who would follow me must take up his or her cross." Now, most of us, if not all of us, want to follow Jesus. But how much are we willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel? You know, on Sunday mornings, you can turn on the TV and find all sorts of prosperity preachers who are going to tell you that if you follow Jesus and serve him, you're going to get healthy and wealthy and wise. I don't know what gospel they read, because the gospel that I read makes it very clear that Christianity is not an easy life. We want it to be easy. We want it to be all sweetness and light. And of course, we are promised eternal life and the presence of the Holy Spirit with us always. But we're also warned, if you follow me, if you follow Jesus, you're going to go against the ways of the world, and there will be some pushback. And you may hurt. Now, here in America, we don't face the same kind of threat of suffering as Christians do in Muslim and communist countries. Our very lives are not as at stake as theirs often are. There are, however, lifestyle issues that often feel threatening to us, albeit in a different way. The first lifestyle issue is financial. Our suffering may involve squeezing our pocketbooks and wallets in order to participate in the work of God in our world. C.S. Lewis said that Christians should feel a bit pinched by what we give for gospel causes like worship and evangelism and feeding the hungry and healing the sick and teaching the poor and fighting racism. He said there needs to be some things we'd like to do or like to buy, but we just have to put off because we're invested in the kingdom of God. We don't have to dismiss them forever, but we may need to say, not now. The first lifestyle issue is financial, and the second one is ethical. When something is morally wrong, we ought not to do it, nor should we encourage others to do it. In fact, we should encourage them to avoid it or stop it. If we're part of an organization or if we have an employer or a peer group that is functioning in a way that hurts others or tiptoes around the law, we should identify the wrong, seek to stop it, and then quit the group if we're unsuccessful at reforming it. You see, theology is what we believe. Ethics is what we do because of what we believe. Christians are called to face wrongdoing, suggest alternatives, then do what Jesus would have us do and face the consequences. They may include a form of suffering or job loss or being ostracized or attacked on social media. First one's financial, the second one's ethical, and the third one is social. The third lifestyle issue that we Christians face is social. Here's what I mean. We should be willing, when the situation calls for it, to identify ourselves as Christians. This doesn't mean that we have to wear a poster board around announcing to the world that I'm a Christian. Good for me. It means that in the course of social conversation, situations, when faith matters arise, we should be willing to say, we are followers of Jesus. We are disciples. Paul told Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Jesus said, those who deny me before others, I will deny. Now, admitting our faith before some folks may result in being cheered, ignored, or ostracized. No matter. The gospel is worth it. The good news that we have been given and that we have to share about the depth of God's love for us and God's plan for our good now and in the future, the good news of that is worth it. But you know, such stances can be difficult to maintain. Where do we find the strength to stay steady, loyal, and consistent? We find it through faith in God, and that's one of the things that this table promises us. Come unto me, all you who are heavily laden and overburdened, and I will give you rest, says Jesus, and he meets us here. I was telling the confirmation class that in the city of Pittsburgh, there's a department store named Kaufman's, or at least it used to be there. Kaufman's department store occupied a whole city block, and it had a huge clock that was mounted onto the side of it, and it stood all the way out across the sidewalk. It was up above. I mean, you could easily walk underneath it, but it was enormous, and it was a landmark in Pittsburgh. Everybody knew it was there. And so if you were going to meet somebody in downtown Pittsburgh, you'd often say, "I'll meet you under the clock outside of Kauffman's." And everybody knew where that was, and that was a good spot to meet. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus said, "I'll meet you at this table. I will be there to give you strength, to enrich your faith, to deepen your life." Paul told Timothy, "Join me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God." He says God's power is revealed in the resurrection of Jesus. Quote, "Our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, is the evidence of God's power and a reason for faith." Paul said God made him an apostle to herald the gospel, and because of that he suffers. But he's okay with that, he said. Quote, "Because I know the God in whom I have put my trust. He knows that God will be faithful to him because God has demonstrated his power and love in Jesus Christ." Friends, here's the point of this sermon. It's all you have to remember today when you leave is this. Some things must be suffered because we are human. It's the way it is. Nobody escapes without some suffering. Others are suffered because we are Christian. And in every case, strength comes by relying on the power of God. Friends, come this day to the Lord's table in order to receive the power of God. Amen.